to stand very close to the microphone. If I stand here, you can't hear me. I have to bend over to reach the microphone. After so many years, this Mass has so many elements to it. Of course, the first thing is the breaking news about Pope Benedict's passing away, a giant in the history of the Church, extraordinary theologian, a very humble man, a great servant of the Church. Pope Benedict, so we pray for him. Now, if it weren't for the fact that Pope Benedict just died, what would be in the mind of everybody is New Year's Eve. It's New Year's Eve, so Happy New Year to everybody. That's the way we greet each other, Happy New Year. But if you look at the prayers and the readings of the Church for this day, you'll notice that the Church pays almost no attention at all to the coming of the New Year. The Church's new year starts at the beginning of Advent, which was 5 weeks ago already, and the Church doesn't celebrate the new year with a party or with a noisy celebration or fireworks. The Church, rather, sees the beginning of a new year as a new opportunity to begin anew to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And that's what we did for 4 weeks of Advent. And then after 4 weeks, we celebrated something much greater than the turning of a page on a calendar, much greater than the changing of the number from 22 to 23. What we celebrated was, and what we're still celebrating, is the appearance of the Word made flesh, the birth of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. That is something worth celebrating. Much greater than the change of a calendar. And we have been celebrating Christmas since last week. A week ago tonight was Christmas Eve. Now we're still celebrating Christmas. So that brings us to what we're doing here. We are celebrating the octave feast, the eighth day of Christmas. It's a joyful continuation of what we celebrated last week, and we have been celebrating all week. And the gospel is the clue that we're still celebrating Christmas. The gospel account was the shepherds going to Bethlehem, seeing Joseph and Mary, seeing the infant Jesus lying in the manger. That's the Christmas event right there. So we're celebrating Christmas. The gospel then said what happened on the eighth day, which is today, the eighth day, January 1st, the eighth day. What happened on the eighth day was Jesus was circumcised, as every baby boy among the Jews was, and he received his name, the holy name, the most holy name, Jesus, God saves. So that's what we celebrate. We also celebrate on the eighth day this solemnity of the of Mary, Mother of God, Mary Most Holy. We begin the new secular year with Mary, every year. We start with the woman whom God chose to start anew with. He chose Mary to be the Mother of God, to be the beginning of the new creation through her Son. In the reading from the letter to the Galatians, which we just heard, St. Paul says, when the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time, not just another year, but the fullness of time. When the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman. That woman is Mary, born under the law. So that fullness of time is what we really celebrate. The date that's really important, the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's at the center of all history. So here we have New Year's Eve, we have the octave feast of Christmas, we have the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, and there's a fourth element that is part of our celebration tonight, the church observes January 1st as World Day of Peace. Sometimes it's called the World Day of Prayer for Peace. It's the same thing. World Day of Peace. This is the 56th World Day of Peace. Now that makes me, at least, pause for a moment, because there's something very striking about focusing on peace this year. There's always tensions and conflicts and wars in the world, as Jesus said there would be. There are always going to be wars and insurrections. But in 2022, there was an outbreak of a much more serious war, the war between Russia and Ukraine, a war that has claimed many thousands of lives. In fact, we don't even know how many, but certainly tens of thousands, if not higher. A war that has killed soldiers and civilians, a war that has no prospect of ending anytime soon, as far as we can tell. A war that has had effect on the whole world. It seems far away from us here in the Philippines, but it has had the effects of this war are being felt everywhere. Economic collapse, high inflation, radical changes in the price of fuel, food shortages, crises of food shortages and all over the world. So we're in a serious mess here when it comes to this war in Ukraine. Now here in Southeast Asia, we're more sensitive perhaps to the growing tensions in this part of the world, this region. There's China. And all it seems like all the neighbors of China are concerned about China now. Then there's the tension between North and South Korea. It's always getting stirred up. And lately, it's quite hot. And there are all the conflicts over the territorial waters of the South China Sea. Yes, lots and lots of problems on the matter of peace. So it seems like world peace is getting further away from us, not closer. And the year 2023 has some deep uncertainties hanging over it. Now, it's true, we've made some progress in 2022. At least we're past the intense crisis of the COVID pandemic. Thanks be to God. We should be giving thanks to God that this New Year's, it's not like last New Year's, and it's not like the one 2 years ago where we were in lockdown and all kinds of social restrictions. Thanks be to God. And there are many things to be grateful for. Grateful for our health, for our family, for freedom, for faith, for families. Yes. But there is a sense in the world anyway, there's a sense that we're facing one crisis after another. And there's a sense in a lot of people of a deep helplessness. What can we do? What can I do? And that's where this feast day comes in. Very important. It gives us two vital lessons for the World Day of Peace. Two vital lessons for life. What are the two lessons? Jesus and Mary. Very simple. Jesus and Mary. You can't remember two, just remember one. Jesus. But if you want to find Jesus, you need to go to him through Mary, to Jesus through Mary. But these are the two keys. So let's reflect on this just a moment. First of all, Jesus. Jesus, of course, the one who was born on Christmas, the one who's come into the world. Christmas reminds us that we are not alone in the world. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. We are not struggling in the darkness, trying to figure out for ourselves the path to peace. We are children of light. The light of the world has come. The Prince of Peace has come. He is with us in the world. He's born for us. Remember the song of the angels, no? At Christmas night, to the shepherd, the very shepherds that we heard about in the gospel, what did the angels say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people. On whom his favor rests. No. Peace. Peace comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. So we pray to him. We turn. turn to him, we rely on him, call on him, Lord, Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, grant us your peace. Peace on earth. That's the first lesson. Jesus Christ is the lesson. He's the center of history. He's the center of our lives. He's the center of everything that happens. And he's the one we turn to, Jesus. We have real hope even in dark times because Jesus is with us. If we don't know that, then we don't know anything about our faith. We don't know anything about Christmas. If we don't know, we have hope because Jesus is with us. Now the second lesson is Mary. And this is important because we can get the impression or the wrong idea that our prayer doesn't really do anything and that we can't really do anything. We get the impression that the problems in the world are just too big and we are just too small and we're helpless victims of the whole mess. Now, on a certain level, natural level, that's true. It's true. What can you do? What can you do about the war in Ukraine? What can you do about China? What can you do about food crisis? Can't even buy onions. Where you feel helpless. That's on a natural level, that's the way it is. But from the perspective of faith, that perspective is of no importance at all. That idea that we're too small. That doesn't make any sense at all from the perspective of faith. In fact, it's too self-focused. It's too limited. It's looking in the wrong direction. What can I do? What can I do? Why do we put ourselves in the middle of this? Why do we put Jesus back in the middle? And this is where Mary, the Mother of God, comes in to give us an important instruction here. Mary, after all, a human being, is just as little as we are, just as weak as we are. She's just as helpless, just as powerless as anybody else on a natural level. Remember, she's a poor, young woman from a remote village. Nothing powerful about her. But God chose her. God chose her and gave her the fullness of grace, hail full of grace. And Mary responded perfectly to that gift. Mary's power comes from her total availability to God. Her faith, her yes to God. That's the whole secret. And Mary shows us how powerful we are when we are available to God, when we are open to being God's instruments. Mary shows us the power of the poor, the power of the weak, the power of those who rely on God. Now, on this feast day, Mary, Mother of God, Mary, Mother of God, we use this special title, this unique and exalted title, Theotokos. That's the Greek word for it. Theotokos means, well, we've translated Mother of God, the God-bearer, the one who gives birth to God. Theotokos, Mother of God. It's a controversial title because people will raise the question, well, how can God have a mother? How can God have a mother? I mean, who could ever claim to be his mother? God is infinite. God's eternal. The whole idea is absurd. That's right. Until the fullness of time comes and God enters the world through a woman. Born of a woman. That's why we read that reading on this feast day. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman. So God is the one who decided that he would come and work through Mary. And God is the one who decides that everyone who believes can participate in this very work. So we don't tell God what to do. We don't force God to do anything. We open a space for God. And God does the work. That's why we cannot conclude that prayer doesn't do anything. Of course it does. Of course it does. Because it opens a space for God. And God can do anything. Nothing's impossible for God. That's why we pray. We open ourselves to God. welcome him into our hearts, and he's the one who makes us his instruments for his peace in the world. So this is our answer. This is what we celebrate, Jesus and Mary. If we want world peace, and we do, well then we have to pray. Pray to Jesus. Pray to Jesus with Mary who prays to him. If we want a happy new year, if we want a better 2023, we have to pray. Pray, open ourselves to God. If we want God to reign in us, if we want him to reign in our families, in our neighborhood, our community, if we want him to reign in the world, we have to pray. Pray. Do our part, our little part, which God does not think of as little. He makes it big, just like he did with Mary. So let us ask Mary, our mother, mother of God, mother of the church, let's ask Mary to pray for us and to teach us how to pray like her with great and persevering faith.